today on Real Radio.
Everybody will suffer in life because we all live in a fallen world if you're a believer or not. But the believer suffers with a purpose. We suffer with a meaning. And when we suffer, the Bible has promised us that God does a work in us that cannot be gotten any other way.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series called Anchored, a study in 1 Peter, with a message titled Ministers, Each and Every One, Part 3. Peter was, of course, a disciple of Jesus Christ who later on became the leader of the first church. Throughout his ministry, Peter lovingly cared for others and faithfully pursued his passion to spread the gospel to those around him. Peter understood the power of God's love and set an example for all true believers to live by. Previously, from the first section of chapter 5, we discovered what it means to truly be a Christian, how love and encouragement go a long way in the body of Christ, to care, protect, and watch out for each other, and correct God's people through suffering and turmoil is what ministry is all about. Love experienced is a love we can share with those around us and with those who live among us. So today on day one of this message, Pastor Jack tells us that walking with God is to know His will, to be fruitful, fully pleasing to the Lord in all that we do. The greatest thing a Christian is called to do is to share the gospel with a heart of love and present ourselves to God as an example of His service. And now in his message called Ministers, Each and Every One, Part 3, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
So, part 3 now of our message, Ministers, Each and Every One. And Peter begins by addressing the elders. We've been looking at this these last 2 weeks that Peter has been talking for 4 chapters about the glory of the gospel, the power of the gospel, and the fact that the church was suffering over and over again. He's been teaching us about suffering, that everybody will suffer in life because we all live in a fallen world if you're a believer or not. But the believer suffers with a purpose. We suffer with a meaning. And when we suffer, the Bible has promised us that God does a work in us that cannot be gotten any other way. But in the midst of all of that, Peter begins now in the 5th chapter to kind of give a little exam and exhortation to the church about continuing on until the end and about being surrounded by and having godly leaders. And so the intent of every ministry for all of us, not just people who happen to stand on a stage and speak, but all aspects of church life, and this is true even for single people that are friends with others, but they're responsible for themselves. They need to have a vision. Married couples, they need to have a vision. Mom and dad for kids need to have a vision about what it means to be a Christian, and certainly a church. And before we get into this closing argument today, I'm going to ask you to consider Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 to 14. It's one of the most beautiful statements. You know, it's a statement by the Apostle Paul to the church at Colossae. You'll see this on t-shirts or framed images on the wall. I've seen this on t-shirts even this last week. I think it's a prayer by the great apostle. And follow along with me if you would. Colossians 1, verses 9 to 14. It really goes perfectly with what Peter's talking to us about. So Paul says to them, "For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you." So I believe this is a prayer that he's letting us in on. And he said, we've not stopped praying really since the day that we heard of it. What is the it? It is their great witness that the church at Colossae was hanging in there against an unbelieving world and a militant empire of the Roman world that was coming down against it. And Paul said, you're to be commended. We talk about, think about, we rejoice in what God is doing. We don't cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled. This is complete to overflowing. Number one, overflowing with knowledge Of what? Of the will of God, of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. The announcement, we're praying for you that you as a church would be a church that is filled really with all the wisdom and spiritual understanding, really discernment. You're a wise church. That is, you know the word and you know how to use the word, and you have a discerning spirit. You are operational as a church. You're healthy, you're strong. Verse 10, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work. Now listen, he's talking to the Christian. You cannot be saved by good works. The Bible condemns that thought. He's talking to saved people. They're already saved. So once you're already Jesus Christ and property of the Lord, what are the hallmarks of your life? And one of them is to have this knowledge of God's will. It's to have wisdom and spiritual understanding. It's that you're walking worthy of the Lord. That doesn't mean you're walking perfect. It means you want to walk perfect. When you step out of line, you get right back in it, and you protect yourself to not do that thing again, and you're walking with Jesus just like you would walk with Jesus 2,000 years ago in the Galilee. It's a reality of walking in the presence of God. He goes on to say, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Listen to the snowballing of maturity and of growth. Verse 11, Colossians 1:11 says, strengthened with all might. That's a big deal. If any of you are looking for a word study, which are wonderful ways to study the Bible, it's called a word study, where you might take up the word might, and you study wherever the word might appears in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, you would study that. You'd read it, you'd look at it, and see what's being done around it. This prayer says, strengthened with all might. This is an amazing thing, because here Paul is saying to the Colossians that all of God's available powers that are needed for you to do this are available to you. So grab it. According to his glorious power. That means God's going to do it. For all patience and long suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us. Who qualified us? The Father has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light, and he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us. This word convey, awesome, watch. The moment you put your faith in Jesus, the word means that God took you up out of the world and brought you over here and placed you into the body of Christ, and you live in a whole new kingdom, a whole new realm. You've been conveyed, or you've been communicated up out of and over into the kingdom, he says, of the Son of his love. And we end at verse 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Say amen to that. It's absolutely awesome. That's the gospel, and that is the walk of the disciple. That portion of scripture is all you need to do in Christianity, because it will take you everywhere in the Bible, and it will take you everywhere in the world, wherever God would have you to go. Remarkable portion of scripture. Well, you guys, all the things we've been looking at, no need to belabor them. We looked at verse 1, and that was the encouragement of us to actually receive encouragement from God, that we might give it to other people. And we looked at that in verses 1 and 2. And then we also saw, secondly, last time, that we need love to be a loving people. That if we're going to be real Christians, we don't go around unfurling rules and regulations to people. People cannot keep rules and regulations. It doesn't work that way. People respond to love. And the Bible says God is love. Aren't you grateful for that? The Bible doesn't say God is the law. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible doesn't say God is the rule. No, the Bible says God is love. And the greatest way for you and I as ministers of the gospel, all of us as Christians, I'm making a grand assumption, all of us are Christians today, that the greatest thing that you and I can do is to do ministry from a heart of love. Why do we do what we do? Why do we fight for what we fight for? Why do we take a position? Why do we go through the long hours or the excruciating criticism or the difficult times? It's worth it if it's being done in love. Because if you're doing something out of posted legalism, you will be disillusioned. You will quit in short order. The Bible says it's love that covers a multitude of sin, not rules, not regulations. But we have to know that love of God before we can disperse or distribute that love of God. And church, remember, and this is where we're going to end. It's all centered around that word shepherd. Look at verse 2, and then we'll go to the closing argument. It says, by the way, if somebody has an Old King James Version Bible, get it out just to prove a point. But I'll read it, so now call on you in a moment. Chapter 5, verse 2. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, not by being made to, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, not for the bucks, but eagerly. It means you'll do it even if nobody gives you a nickel. I love that. Nor as being lords, that is, don't be a tyrant over those whom God, is what's really being said here, has entrusted you with those to care for. So the word shepherd, now the New King James Version Bible, if you have a different version, I'd like to see your hand go up. The New King James says shepherd the flock of God. Does anybody have the Old King James? What does it say?
It says feed
the flock of God. Anybody else have a different version of the English? Anybody? So look, it's pretty narrow. It's going to say shepherd or feed. And even if there's some other word that is appointed there by a Bible committee that did a translation, it's still going to mean the same word. But I love the Old King James. It's exactly correct. Because when you think of shepherd, the shepherd doing what shepherds do, and that's the meaning of the word, by the way. The word here is to do what shepherds do. It doesn't necessarily say that you are a shepherd. Now, in the case of Peter and the leaders, they were shepherds. They were shepherds by appointment by God, but they were not shepherds with staves and real sheep on the hill. Are you with me? But God doesn't want us to parse those very far away from one another. He wants you to keep that thinking together. Peter was a fisherman. Peter had become a shepherd first, preeminently. And that word shepherd is a feeder, the one who feeds. And the word feed here, shepherd, means in all things, not just food. It's all things food. It's all things for the nourishment of the sheep, all things for the welfare of the sheep. And so as we look to this study and as we wrap up this study, this last couple of weeks should be a message of how to hold the ministry that you're involved in or the ministry that you're praying about moving to or going to. You need to hold certain standards, and those standards must be biblical standards. And it all begins in love. And from that should emanate out all these other things that we'll see in a moment. But the feeding is protecting, exhorting, it's loving them, it's admonishing them, it's making sure that they're calm and well provided for. That's what a shepherd would do. And that's a vital thing because we're talking about giving sheep what they need the most, and it's doctrine. Doctrine. When we say doctrine, church, when you open 1st and 2nd Timothy and the book of Titus in church life, you know what's sad? I'm going to say it right now in a moment. And it should be so, so common because it was in the first century church. And now today, 21 centuries later, it's like, what? That is a church relationship between the leaders and the flock was all predicated upon doctrine. Paul said over and over again to Timothy, defend the doctrine, protect the doctrine, give them doctrine, 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 doctrine. You cannot be a New Testament church without biblical doctrine. You can't even be a New Testament pastor unless you're giving the people doctrine. You see, well, that doctrine word sounds so heavy. It is heavy. So what's wrong with heavy? Doctrine is the teaching of God's word, the pure, unadulterated God's word of the Bible. It is precious, it is expensive, and it's heavy. And this is one of those things that it's heavy because there's no changing of it. There is no substitute for Bible today. You know, like everything else in our world, there's a lot of ministries that just believe, well, that's too heavy for people. They want church light. They've got Bud Light from Monday to Saturday, so let's give them church light on Sunday. Charles Spurgeon, 100 and some odd, 200 years ago, said this, that it's people putting together sermonettes for Christianettes. You just get entertained and you have a nice show for a while and then you go back to the real world. Listen, I want you to know here right now that this is the exact opposite of the way we see things. This is the real world. Not the building, not the structure, not the seats you're on. You and I gathering together to learn God's word. This is the real world. With this, this is how we go out there to deal with a world that is fading. It's a world that is perishing. It's a world that its time is almost up. What you're learning in Bible doctrine is forever. It will never go away. God's doctrine, his word. That word shepherd implies to be vigilant. I like that. I don't know what comes to your mind when you hear the word vigilant. It means to be alert. It means to be standing guard over the flock. It means to be ready for potential dangers. God said in Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 15, and this is true today because God's truth never changes. Jeremiah 3:15 says right there to the nation of Israel, he says, I will give you shepherds according to my heart. And how will you know them, by the way? So Israel, how will you know that God has given you a shepherd according to his heart? Next line, who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. Is that cool? How do you know when you go back home from vacation that the church that you go to, the pastor that you serve under, how do you know if he's sent there by God? Because he's going to give you and feed you the word of God, not five principles on how to be happy. Because you know what? I mean, we could do that right here. We could announce on social media, next week, come, we're going to have 7 steps to financial freedom. 7 steps to how to have a happy life. Do you know this place would be packed? Oh, I want to know that. And God would say today, I want you to know this. There's one step. I'm going to give you the one-step program. That one-step program is come to my word. Because in that Bible is the answer for your entire life. I'll paraphrase it for time's sake, but in 1 Corinthians 9:16, the Apostle Paul, he said regarding the gospel and the doctrines of God, woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. That's awesome. I've got to announce the truth, said the Apostle Paul. But we're to do it always feeding always. Those that are serving in the church, that's kind of the thing, is you've got to get your food. In it is all the vitamins. In it is everything you need. In it is what you've got to have. But sometimes as a church, we're like, I don't know. And Paul the Apostle was the one who announced in the book of Acts, I have not withheld anything from you guys. I determined to preach to you and teach you the full counsel of God. Why? So that the sheep of that part of Greece and what is today the Turkish nation would be able to say, we know the truth from cover to cover. And that's how you're a healthy sheep. Sheep who eat well tell people about Jesus because they got the energy. Sheep who eat well, listen, they get things done because they're motivated. They feel good about the God they know. And there's no other way to know this God but by eating of his word. So once you get a taste of it, hey, it's not so bad. And then when it gets in you, then activity happens. And so the pastor is to be a feeder of the word of God to the people. Third and final argument, this is where we end this little mini-series that has developed, is here in verses 3 and 4, that ministers each and every one of us is the fact that we need an example to be an example. I mean, there's just no way around it. We need encouragement to be an encourager. We need love to be loving. And we need an example to be an example. You might want to write this down in your note-taking. It's very scary. Could be. But the scriptures teach us that people will become like the leadership that's over them. And I don't know what you think about that. I had an unbelievably awesome example. I don't know any other example. But then I talk to you and you tell me about the things that you've suffered under ministries and places. And it's like, what? There are sheep that are healthy and productive and well taken care of. There's sheep that are kind of so-so maybe, and there's sheep that are abused. By the way, I commend all of you the fascinating reading of Keller, last name's Philip Keller's book, A Shepherd Looks at the 23rd Psalm. You ought to buy that book. If you commute, buy the audio version of it. Listen to it on the freeway. A Shepherd's Look at the 23rd Psalm. This guy was a shepherd, and he tells you about sheep, and it's exciting, it's funny, it's worrisome, and it's tragic because he tells you about the sheep that he's had to shepherd over the course of his shepherding career. And it's quite amazing. Feed them. But there's examples. And you need to be careful about your house of worship or what you're listening to these days. The internet's dangerous. There's more danger on it than I believe there's good on it. You know, now look, you might say, well, that's kind of a negative thing to say. Well, let me put it to you this way. There might be more truth out there than there's false, but it doesn't seem like it. It seems like the bad always gets out front first. It's weird. So listen, I believe God invented the internet to get the word of God out. The Bible was the first thing on the internet. Isn't that awesome? The Bible was the first thing on the printing press, the Bible. I love that. The Bible was the first book to get to the moon, the Bible. That's great. But such delivery systems can get into the wrong hands and do mischief. And they set a tone. They set an example, if you like it or not. So there's examples, good, bad, and ugly. And I'll just give you a few things to consider. He says, being an example to the flock. Notice it's to the flock. You are to be an example Christian to the flock. Every one of us is Christians, all of us. The flock should be able to look at us and say, that's really sweet. That's very nice. That's very godlike. All of us. And this is the reason that you and I would be ministering. Example, the word tupos, it means to emboss, to strike with a mark. In fact, guys, we have a graphic. It's on a different page. You want to bring it on over? It's from page 7. I don't want to run out of time like I did last service. You want to bring it on over to page 4 in my notes? Example. It's a very powerful thing because it means to be embossed upon or stamped. This is an actual 2,300-year-old Roman gold stamp. This is an actual stamp. It's not a ring. It's a ring, but it's not a ring to be worn to go out on the town. This is a ring to be worn by an authority to take that and to stamp the ownership or the validation upon an image. It's binding by Roman law. This word here about being examples is to take, and it's true for all of us, that someone is going to emboss your life, stamp your life with a seal by example, good, bad, or ugly, and it's going to leave its mark on you.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Ministers, Each and Every One, Part 3. Thanks for listening today. And you know, the world really saw no greater example of deep, pure, and abiding peace than in our Lord Jesus Christ. Ministers, Each and Every One, Part 3, is part of Pastor Jack's series called Anchored, A Study in 1 Peter, a series that takes us through the life and times of the Apostle Peter, whose love for Jesus Christ carried him through great persecution, and whose compassion for others still inspires us today. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. And just a reminder that there's more to real life than our radio program. Join the thousands of others who watch and listen to Pastor Jack's YouTube channel. His channel is called Real Life with Jack Hibbs, where you'll find messages, Bible studies, engaging interviews, live event videos, and a whole lot more. The Apostle Peter knew firsthand the power of knowledge and how sharing that truth during uncertain and perilous times can really make a difference in someone's life. So head over to that YouTube channel, Real Life with Jack Hibbs, and be sure to hit the subscribe button. You can also access Pastor Jack's YouTube channel through our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.